Hello and welcome to Transmissions from Tatooine Episode 32, the show that covers all the Star Wars films, TV shows, books, comics and more, in no apparent order. I am your host, Ollie, here with our other fantastic host, Jayanth.
Hey everyone.
And today we're going to be talking about the final arc of Season 5 of The Clone Wars. And if you've seen this arc, which hopefully, considering that there are going to be a lot of spoilers about it in this episode, you have. If you haven't, I would recommend pausing this episode, going and watching it, and then coming back to this episode, because it's a really good arc. And, yeah.
This is Transmissions from Tatooine, coming to your datapads from, well, not Tatooine, actually,
So, yeah, as we said in the top, today we're going to be talking about the final arc of Season 5 of The Clone Wars, which was, for a long time, the final arc of The Clone Wars before Disney cancelled it. And then they did come out with The Lost Missions, which gave us three extra arcs. Including one of my favorite ones, the Yoda Force stuff, which that's another really good arc, but I'm going off track and we've been recording for like less than a minute. But yeah. So anyway, should we start off with a quick synopsis? And I don't even know why I bother saying quick. They're never quick, are they?
Yeah.
Should we try and make this one quick?
Yeah, we'll try, but probably won't work.
Yeah, this episode starts off with Ahsoka and Anakin on Cato Neimoidia, and then they get called back to the Jedi Temple because the Council wants them to investigate a bombing at the Jedi Temple. They don't know who did it. So Anakin and Ahsoka have to find out who set the bomb off. And then they think they know who did it. They think it was this guy called Jakar. And then they find Jakar's wife, and she doesn't know where he is. She hasn't seen him since the bombing, and so they take her back for questioning. There's like this robot that doesn't know they've got like a forensic analysis droid, I think is its proper name. Basically like an investigator droid, and he works out that the bomb was created using nanodroid technology, and then Anakin and Ahsoka go back to Ledis, who's the Jakar's wife, the lady they took him for questioning, her house, and then they, I think they questioned her and then let her go again. And then they go to her house, find the nanodroids. And then she comes in and finds them and then tries to run. So they know that she's guilty of something. And that's the end of episode one. I think I did a good job of keeping that quick. Do you want to do the second episode?
Yeah, so the second episode starts off where again? Could you just...
So basically Tarkin takes Leather Termond to like a military holding facility rather than at the Jedi Temple, And then there's like a funeral for the Jedi who were killed in the bombing. Then Ahsoka gets called to the prison facility where Leda Termon's being held. Do you want to take over here? Because I think you know what happens when Ahsoka goes to the cell.
Yeah, so Ahsoka enters the cell to interrogate the woman, but then when the woman finally begins to tell her who's actually doing, who's actually behind all of this, she gets force choked and she dies. But from the security camera, it kind of looked like Ahsoka was the one who killed her. And then all the clone troopers come in and do they try to arrest her, or does she?
No, so they put her under arrest, and then later on she escapes, and we can get to the later on she escapes. So later on she like finds like this card that unlocks the cell, and then she finds her lightsabers, and basically someone's helping her escape, and she thinks it's Anakin, but she doesn't know, and it's not actually Anakin. And then the clones figure out that she's trying to escape, and then Anakin and Rex and stuff come, and they chase her, and they nearly catch her. Anakin does catch up with her, but she refuses to come in, and she like jumps onto a ship that's going down into the depths of Coruscant, escaping the clones, and that's kind of the end of that second episode. We're doing really well at keeping these short today. And then in the third episode, so you've got Ahsoka is like on the run, and it's essentially her being hunted by the clones. And then she calls Barriss Offee on the comms, and Barriss Offee says she's going to try and look for a clue. She's gets attacked by Asajj Ventress, who, if you remember, is now a bounty hunter. And then Asajj eventually agrees to help her. They start, then they're almost caught, and Asajj helps her escape by using, I think it was a ray shield. Was it a ray shield? I think so. It was a ray shield, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I think.
Anyway, that's kind of irrelevant. Asajj helps her escape. And they then go on the run, and then they call Barriss Offee again, and she has a clue for them about this old abandoned warehouse, and Asajj takes her to this like warehouse, and then leaves, and then we see someone attack Asajj Ventress and take her lightsabers and mask. And then, so Ahsoka's in the warehouse, and she discovers nanodroids in the warehouse, and then she's attacked by someone with Asajj's helmet and lightsabers, so she thinks it's Asajj Ventress, and then she's, like, pushed down, and, they have a fight, and Ahsoka loses, and she's, like, thrown down into the place where all the nanodroids are, and then the clones find her there amongst all the nanodroids, and they capture her, and that's the end of the third episode, with Ahsoka looking very guilty.
Yeah, we're flying through this.
Is it worrying that we're pleased about not failing?
I don't know.
Yeah, don't know. Anyway, and then, yeah, so in the fourth episode, Ahsoka is captured and taken back to the Jedi Temple, and then you see the council having like a discussion with Tarkin via hologram, and Tarkin wants them to expel Ahsoka so that the Republic can put her on trial. The Jedi Council is kind of playing politics here, but they are kind of forced into a corner where they have to agree because otherwise it looks bad. And so they expel Ahsoka from the Jedi Order. And then, so Ahsoka's put on trial, whilst Anakin, and so Padme is defending Ahsoka, whilst Anakin tries to figure out who's framing Ahsoka. And so then you've got Ahsoka on trial, and Ahsoka thinks that Asajj is the one who's setting her up. And so Anakin goes and hunts down Asajj, and she Asajj isn't the person who's doing it, and Anakin's kind of at a dead end because she was the only person Ahsoka talked to, and then Asajj says something about, that's not true. Ahsoka talked to someone called Barriss, who's obviously Barriss Offee. And so Anakin goes to talk to Barriss Offee and then does something quite clever where he picks up her regular lightsaber and then he kind of tries to attack her. And so she has to use the Force to get the other two lightsabers. They are Asajj's red lightsabers. And so, yeah, and Barriss Offee, who is Ahsoka's friend, is actually the one who set her up to, you know, get expelled from the Order. Then so Anakin takes Ahsoka back to the trial, takes Barriss back to the trial just as the verdict is about to be passed, and there's, you know, the whole stop, I have something important to say that you see in lots of crime movies and stuff, but and then Barriss is the one who's found guilty, and so Ahsoka's free, and then the Jedi say, oh, you can come back and join the Jedi again, we'll let you in. And Ahsoka doesn't. She walks away from the Jedi Order. And then it ends with this beautiful shot of her, like, walking down the steps of the Jedi Temple with the, like, Jedi statues on either side. And
That's a
shot. So, yeah, that is the Wrong Jedi arc of the Clone Wars, and it's a really well done arc, isn't it? Where do you want to start, really?
Yeah, there's a lot to, well, it might, yeah, like, I'm not sure where to start, but
should we start at the end with Ahsoka walking away from the Jedi? Because I want to know what you thought of this scene, because I unfortunately got spoiled on it before I managed to see it.
That's sad.
Yeah, whereas you were unspoiled going into it. So what did you think of it when you first saw it?
I was sort of surprised, you know, because I didn't know it was like this. She exited the Jedi Council. Yeah, so It's a very important arc.
Very important, and as we'll see in the next arc, which is going to be our final arc we discuss in this kind of mini series, we're going to be doing the Siege of Mandalore, the Clone Wars finale, and that is just an amazing arc. But going back to Ahsoka walking away from the temple, I know Dave Filoni, who's the showrunner for Clone Wars, he always talks about how Ahsoka is a teenage girl, and teenagers aren't always the most forgiving when you do them wrong.
Yeah.
And so that's why he decided that she should walk away from the Jedi Order. And also, I think probably they didn't want to kill off a really good character like Ahsoka, but they had to have her out of the picture for episode 3, didn't they? Because she's not in episode 3. And I feel like Dave Filoni, this is probably one of his best pieces of work, isn't it? I mean, I think Siege of Mandalore is possibly slightly better than this, but they're both very good arcs. And then I also feel like the animation and stuff really noticeably improves between seasons 3 and seasons 5, because it kind of progressively gets better throughout the show, but because we jumped from midway through season 3 going straight into season 5, like, you could really see a big difference. I think particularly in, like, the lightsaber fight between Barriss and Anakin at the end there, you can see a huge improvement in the animation and, like, the movement feels, feels a lot better and more smooth and realistic. And then also the lighting in these arcs is really impressive, because if you think back to Mortis, and it's even more obvious than, like, seasons 1 and 2, I think, the lighting is kind of very simple, just everything key lit. Like this arc, there's a lot of kind of more artistic lighting, isn't there? Like, if you think about when Ahsoka's escaping, like, the prison compound at the end of the second episode, there's lots of playing with lights between, you know, ships, and then, like, floodlights on the compound, and when they go into the sewers and there are, like, little holes and stuff that are showing light, and it's all, light stuff in this is, it all gets a lot better than it does in seasons 1 and 2, and even 3 and 3 as well. And, like, that's not really a knock to Mortis, because Mortis is still an amazing arc, but, would you agree? Which one did you prefer?
I liked I liked Mortis better. Not going to lie, because it's more force related. You know, it's a lot more force stuff. So I like that better. But this is a. Both are really good.
Yeah, see, I'm the opposite. I agree that both are really good, but I prefer this arc. I feel like it's more character-driven, and I can see the Force stuff being very appealing, because I feel like there's a lot of stuff in Mortis that, well, I think we talked about it last time, like with Anakin not taking over the mantle of, like, the father, and then leaving all the Force gods dead kind of leaves them out of balance. And I do feel like, you know, that is a very important moment, because I feel like that's arguably when the Force is thrown out of balance, then throws the galaxy into chaos, which we see the ramifications of throughout. Oh, you know, I think they've made a couple of movies about it, haven't they?
Yeah.
But, Ian, do you think it ever goes back into balance? Because we see, obviously, throughout the dark times of the Empire, not in balance, it's very much the dark side taking over. And then you've got the era of the rebellion, where it's still chaos. And then you do have the New Republic era for about 30 years. And then it's a time of peace, but you've got the First Order building up, and you've got the remnants of the Empire going into the First Order. Do you think there was ever a time where the Force got back into balance, or do you think it was always, you know, still out of balance, just kind of taking a pause?
I honestly think that the Force never really, you know. But it, when Anakin made the two Force gods kneel, I told you this before, I felt like it's up to the Force users whether it's balanced or not, because honestly, like, both Force gods are kind of out of the picture. Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah. See, I think that is kind of an endless debate, isn't it, that just goes round and round in circles of when is the Force in balance, if ever, and I don't think there's a right answer. another thing that I find quite interesting is, you know, going back to the first episode where Ahsoka and Anakin are investigating the bombing of the temple, and they're talking about the possibility that a Jedi could have done it. And I find, and Anakin mentions Pon Krell and Count Dooku were both Jedi, and that lots of Jedi don't agree with the war, which I find really interesting, because, like, we've never like, we saw it in the Umbara arc with Pon Krell, but that's the only time we've ever seen kind of, like, a Jedi that doesn't agree with the war, which you'd think we should kind of see more of, because, like, it's an interesting concept, isn't it? That I do remember there's a Legends comic that I read that deals a bit with kind of Jedi who don't agree with the war, but I don't think we've really seen much of that, have we? Can you think of anything? Jantha, you're muted.
Oh, sorry. I can't. Like, you've watched, like, so many more shows, and, you know, you're a much more expert than me, so.
Like, well, I still have a lot of Marvel Unlimited left to read. But yeah, I feel I feel like that's something we should see a lot more of, because it's an interesting concept, like a Jedi who doesn't agree with the Clone Wars. And also, what would happen to a Jedi that wasn't fighting with the clones when Order 66 was executed? Would they have survived? Because there would have been no clones to go and kill them, and then obviously they would have been hunted afterwards. But you have. What's the one in that first arc of the Charles Soule Vader comic? You know how there's that Jedi who took the Barish vow and so didn't engage in the Clone Wars, and he survived and then got killed by Vader like days afterwards because Vader wanted his lightsaber, what was his name? Kruk Infila?
I'm not sure.
I think it's like Kruk Infila or something. I'm not quite sure how you pronounce his first name, but Master Infila. He was like someone. I guess he's another one who didn't get involved in the war, but that wasn't necessarily because he disagreed with it. That was just he'd taken the Barish vow. We do need to do an episode on that comic at some point, don't we? We can look at that another time. But I feel like it's a really interesting thing that I know I'd like to see more of, like a kind of pacifist Jedi, which seems like something you'd see a lot of, considering that they're the keepers of peace, not soldiers. But it would be interesting. I can kind of see like a Jedi survivor who wasn't killed by the clones because they hadn't fought in the war and didn't agree with it, kind of being hunted by the clones and dealing with kind of having to fight when they don't want to fight or something could be, and dealing with obviously the loss of the Jedi, and that would be a really interesting comic, couldn't it? Or game or whatever, really. I'd like to see that in any format, but yeah. And then do you have anything you want to talk about, or?
No, I don't.
What else is there to talk about? I do also find it interesting, you know, the scene with Tarkin, the Jedi kind of saying that they have to expel her because otherwise it looks bad for their basically public relations. Yeah. And I feel like that really shows just how far wrong the Jedi had gone. Because, like, you know, that shouldn't be something that matters to them. Yet here they are talking about expelling an innocent Jedi because of their PR. And
That was sort of... it was sort of dark. Also, when... what's Ahsoka's friend's name again?
Barriss.
She's when she confessed. Palpatine was just like, take her away, and instead of making a decision right there or anything, he just tells them to take her away, which is sort of interesting, but Not relevant.
And also, do you think there was something there with him being worried that Jedi who, you know, kind of said, no, I don't agree with this, I'm not going to fight with your clones. He was worried about that because if his clones can't kill the Jedi, then, you know, that's a bit of a problem for him.
Yeah.
So I wonder if he was also trying to, you know, just get rid of a problem immediately. But, yeah, I do think that the Jedi in the prequels were kind of, with the exception of Qui-Gon Jinn, I feel like they were very far from, you know, the noble Knights of the Republic that they were kind of made out to be. And I feel like that's one of the reasons that the prequels weren't so well received is because of that. And that's one of the things I really like about the High Republic is that we are seeing the Jedi as what they're meant to be, kind of not bogged down by politics, just kind of going around the galaxy doing good. And I've only read The Light of the Jedi so far, and then they had like a short story in Star Wars Insider that I read as well. I feel like you see, it's kind of nice seeing the Jedi in their heyday, and like you see, the Jedi are all really different. They interpret the Force differently. Like there's a Wookiee Jedi called Bayaga, and he sees the Force as a tree with everyone being a leaf on the tree. And then there's another Jedi who sees it as an ocean. And there's a theory that I actually really like about this character. I think his name's El-Zaman, and that's that he's going to go to the dark side because he views the Force as an ocean, and the deeper down you go in an ocean, the darker things get. And so people are wondering if he's, because he likes to go deep into the Force and stuff. And so people are saying, oh, he's going to go to the dark side. And I don't know if that's true. It obviously it is, at least for now, just a theory. But I do feel like that could be really interesting if we got to see it. What do you think of that? You haven't read The High Republic yet, have you?
No, I haven't. But yeah, it does seem interesting how the Force differs by the way people interpret it.
Well, yeah. Really, the Force isn't different. It's just different people see it different ways, which is interesting. Because, like, when you get to the prequel Jedi, it's like, you know, the Force is the Force is the Force. And, like, everyone's kind of the same, whereas and this time there are loads of the Jedi that do all sorts of different things. It's not just you're a Jedi and we're going to send you on diplomatic missions to negotiate trade unions.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing more of the High Republic. I'm looking forward to reading the comic when that comes onto Marvel Unlimited. And then I'm hoping to get Claudia Gray's book Into the Dark at some point. Lots of that I'm looking forward to reading. But yeah.
Yeah.
What else do you want to talk about?
I don't know.
Is those were the things I had written down that I thought were interesting. There was a piece of news I wanted to talk about, and I can't remember what it is right now. The Bad Batch. So we have a release date for the Bad Batch now, and the Bad Batch is going to be starting on May the 4th. That should be good. I've no idea what to expect with the Bad Batch because, we saw them in the Clone Wars in season 7, and I liked them, but they weren't my favorite arc. But I do feel like there's a lot that they can do with them beyond just introduce them as this like super team. And I feel like there's a lot they can do with Echo's character because he gets rescued at the end and then joins the team. And he's gone through a lot with being captured by the separatists and used to basically hack the Republic Army. So there's a lot they can do with him. And then obviously there's all the post-Order 66 stuff that they can do, and that in itself is always super interesting. Whether it's the Darth Vader comic or Jedi Fallen Order or what else have we seen in that era? That's always a really good era to explore, and I feel like we haven't really seen it from a clone perspective at all. I can't think of an example of seeing post-Order 66 from a clone perspective, or at least not like focused on the clones and right after Order 66 during the rise of the Empire, because like we do see, you know, old Rex and Rebels, but that's not really the same because there's not really as much of a focus on him. It's still about the crew of the Ghost and stuff. And I feel like seeing the rise of the Empire, and like we don't even know what side they're going to be on. We don't know if they followed Order 66 and are working for the Empire, or whether they're escaped Order 66 and joined the Alliance. We do know that we're going to see Fennec Shand in this. She's Ming-Na Wen's character in The Mandalorian, you know, the one whose guts were replaced with, like, mechanics. She worked with Boba Fett, the lady who never misses. And so we're going to see a young Fennec Shand in this, and so that's going to be cool. That's something that I'm looking forward to, and I reckon we'll probably have to talk about that on the show. Hopefully they bring it to streaming here.
What else?
I don't know. I had my notes, and those are the interesting points I jotted down. Let me think. No, I can't really think of much else to talk about, to be honest. Do you have any last bits you want to talk about?
No, not really.
I mean, obviously we'll be back next week, and we're going to be talking about the Siege of Mandalore, which is, in my opinion, the best arc of the Clone Wars, and probably the best. I'm not sure I can say the best bit of Star Wars, because there is a lot of Star Wars. I'm not sure I could pick one single thing to pick, but it's definitely up there as one of the best pieces of Star Wars, and it's just amazing. So yeah, be sure to tune in for that. If you could give us a rating and review, we'd really appreciate that. Or if you have a friend or family member who you think might like to listen to the podcast, we'd really appreciate you recommending it to them. Unless Jayanth has anything else to add,
no.
Until next time, we have spoken.